Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this sixth Sunday of Easter. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. John and discuss the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
Catholic Engaged Encounter Weekends are an opportunity for couples preparing for marriage and couples married civilly for less than a year and seeking convalidation to concentrate exclusively on one another, free of tensions, pressures, and the distractions of daily life. These weekends are designed to give couples an opportunity to talk honestly and openly about their future together, to explore weaknesses, strengths, desires, ambitions, goals, education, money, children, family, relationships with God, and so much more. Married couples and a priest will present a series of ideas to be explored. Mass and confession are available as well. The next Engaged Encounter Weekend is set for August 17th and 18th at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center on Lantana. For complete details, call the Diocese Office of Family Life, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/family-life.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara, and how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's the first Sunday of May, and We'll be getting some spring flowers, maybe, with some of the rain that we got.
That would be nice. We're very grateful for the rain, and pray for more to come.
We pray for a lot more to come.
Just want to assure all the farmers and the gardeners out there that I do pray, and I ask the priest to pray all the time for rain, so God answered our prayer a little bit last week. We hope for more.
Yes, we can use a lot more. We have a wonderful gospel from St. John this morning, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, in today's gospel, we continue to read Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples on the night before he died, because he's been doing this for the past couple of weeks.
Right. And he comes, you know, to the point of also preparing them for his imminent death and resurrection and eventually the ascension, which we'll celebrate next Sunday, and, of course, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which is the great presence of Christ in our world today, and through whom all the actions of the church really take place. So it's a farewell that is packed with meaning and with possibilities for all of us. So we're very grateful to have this Easter time to really reflect on these realities that are ours.
And of course, his main focus is to talk about love, because he says to his disciples that the bond of unity between himself, his Father, and them, the bond that will enable them to experience Jesus' presence, is love.
That's correct. And it's a love that expresses itself. You know, we can talk about love, and we know that it's not a feeling. It's not something that is of human origin. And so it's a love that is also expressed through keeping his word. In other words, embracing all that he's told us and all that he did that we find through the Gospels and being obedient to it. It's love expresses itself in the most perfect way in obedience. And as we know, in a society that is freewheeling and everyone is their own truth, it's hard to talk about that word obedience or that reality of obedience. But here Jesus is really putting the parameters to the disciples on his love. If you really love me, you will keep my word. And my Father will love you for that. And I think what's important here is to understand that the word that Jesus speaks, as he says here, is not his. It comes from the Father. And the Father is the eternal truth, is the eternal giver of all life. And he sent his word, Jesus, into the world to bring that word into human existence in the person of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus is really directing his disciples toward the end of his life, not just to a spoken word, not just a literal, but a word that has become flesh, a word that has been lived out and testified to by Jesus' own life. And now we have the final test of that love as he will take it to the cross and express his obedience to the Father. He learned obedience through what he suffered, that final obedience, but also on the cross and in the resurrection shows the depth of that love, that love is truly the ability and the willingness to give up one's life for another and for all. And Jesus gave his life for all, those who believe in him and those who don't. So it's a love which is of God, that God's love is expressed there in his love, first of all, but also expressed in his mercy upon all of us in forgiving us our sins.
Well, and it sounds like for the past couple of weeks, a lot of these Gospels have had the same theme, of course, about love, and so he really wants the disciples to internalize it, like he wants us to, too.
Right.
As you said, it's not love as in a human form, but to really internalize it so that it's a feeling, it's an understanding of it, what it really means.
Right, and that leads us to the second part, really, of this Gospel passage, which Jesus realizes that that's not something, because it's not a human word, it's not something that we can just delve into with our own human powers and rationalize. In the time of the Enlightenment in Europe and on since till today, we try to rationalize and make practical everything. And sometimes we read the Word of God in the entire Scriptures as if it was of human origin. And so we try to understand, but not realizing that it takes the Holy Spirit, it takes the Spirit of God, it takes the Spirit of Christ in our life to really enlighten from within the human heart, of what he is truly trying to say to us. And so this understanding, as you said, of the Scripture, of his Word, it's a lifelong task. It's not something that we can say, well, I learned it here or I learned it there. And even for us, those of us that have studied theology and studied Scripture, we've learned the structure of it, where it comes from, etc., the meaning, but it's something that in order to integrate into one's life, one has to be close to all their life. So it's a learning process that goes till the end, if we're truly his disciples, to constantly learn, to constantly meditate upon, constantly live out, and that's why we have the Word of Life as a practice, to live that Word in daily life, to let the actions that we encounter day in and day out, and sometimes they're the same ones, the monotony of life.
Day to day,
but there's also new opportunities, new events, new things, new people that we meet, and how does the Word enter in there? I know I was talking to another bishop friend of mine, and we try to live the Word of Life and share some things, and we don't see each other that often, but quickly in the hall last week we were, and he says, oh, this Word of Life, that was for last month, actually. Oh, my goodness. Do not grumble against one another. And,
right.
Oh, my gosh, we were talking about, you know, just the little things that. But it's that ongoing attempt to take these eternal words of Jesus and to live them out. And it enlightens things. It enlightens relationships in that sense that, you know, you think, well, you have this little thought about that person or this. But then when you have that word, it says don't grumble. Even the slightest little, right. You know, discomfort about someone can become a grumbling. And we were kind of laughing of how much we need that as
right.
human beings and as bishops too as well. So.
Right. We're all learning.
So it's the advocate that really reminds us and teaches us all of these things. And that's the other thing, reminds us of all that Jesus said, that it's not just our individual thoughts and our individual understanding of life that carries us through, but because we are destined, which is part of our gospel today too, that we are destined for an eternal life. We need eternity in our life today, which is the Holy Spirit, to guide us in that truth and in all the circumstances of life.
Well, and it seems like in this gospel was the first time that Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit, which
right.
of course has, he called him the
advocate,
and then mm-hmm. there's the paraclete.
Right, the great consoler.
Yeah.
No,
many terms.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you realize more and more, and of course we're in the midst of the confirmation season and doing all these confirmations, and I really realize that you can't live the Christian life, you can't live the words of Jesus without the Holy Spirit. I was talking a couple Sundays ago to a family, and their daughter was, you know, should I get confirmed, not get confirmed, kind of that teenage thing, which I guess we all went through, but
back and forth.
You know, and it was beautiful for me to hear a father say that he said to his daughter, "You cannot live life without the Holy Spirit. You need this sacrament. You need the Holy Spirit," which God is good. He's beyond our, you know, but the promise to be there in and through the sacrament in a special way is so important in all of our lives.
Well, and as teenagers, they'll grow to understand that when things
right.
happen in their lives, it was the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
So many times
sure.
say, this happened because the Holy Spirit was guiding us.
Right, exactly. And, you know, the fruit of the Spirit that Jesus brings to our attention here is, which he calls it his gift, is peace. That living the gospel, living this life with the Holy Spirit, he says, I give you my gift. I leave you with my gift. I give you which the world cannot give you, and that is peace. Peace, of course, in this sense, in a human sense, is just the absence of conflict or the avoidance of any kind of trouble. And so you stay in your camp, I stay in my camp. But that doesn't resolve things completely. I mean, certainly we need to strive for peace on all levels. But Jesus is speaking of an interior peace that no circumstance, if we are rooted in Christ and rooted in his word, it's an interior gift that no circumstance can take away from us. It's amazing to see so many people that live in difficult situations but do so with an interior peace. That's the Holy Spirit. That's that advocate and paraclete, the great consoler that's working with us, empowering us not to respond to evil with evil, not to respond to conflict with conflict, but to remain at peace, which is the gift of Jesus Christ to us.
It's a beautiful gift that he's given us. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will have the Word of Life for May. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
If you're a barbecue chicken lover, you'll want to be at 1755 Frio Street in Corpus Christi on Sunday, May 19th. From 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., enjoy a delicious barbecued chicken dinner, including all the trimmings, with the parishioners of Nuestra Señora de San Juan de los Lagos Madre de la Iglesia. To get all the information on this church fundraiser, call 852-0249.
The 4th Annual Church and Community Rummage Sale at Vautman Hall is sponsored by the Women's Club of Our Lady of Consolation. The date is Saturday, July 27th from 8 a.m. till 3 p.m. They'll be accepting clean, unbroken, saleable items and will have community booths available, mostly inside, which means air conditioning. To get there, travel south of Kingsville on Highway 77 about 12 miles, then 5 miles east on FM 628. It's well worth the trip. For complete information, call Teresa May, 361-296-4642.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, this is the first Sunday in May, and so we have the Word of Life, and this, all of them are good, but this month is a very good one.
Right, and I think it's timely that we had the first part of our program really talking about the importance of living that Word, meditating and understanding it better, and we understand things much better when we can live them or they make an application in our life. So that's why we do these monthly Words of Life, and we don't mean them just to be for 15 minutes or 12 minutes on a program, but that we hopefully download them from the internet or go to the scripture and really try to delve more deeply into what Jesus is saying.
Right.
So this month is, the word is, give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your lap. It's from St. Luke's Gospel in the 6th chapter.
Verse 38.
Right. And the commentary is this. Has it ever happened that you received a gift from a friend and then felt you had to reciprocate? Not so much because you felt obliged to pay the person back, but simply out of love and gratitude. I'm sure it has. If you feel this way, imagine how God must feel, God who is love. God reciprocates every gift that we give to any neighbor in His name. True Christians experience this frequently, and each time it is a surprise. We can never get used to the inventiveness of God. I could give you 1,000 examples of this. I could even write a book on this subject alone, and you would see how true these words are. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your lap. God always reciprocates with generosity. Here is one example. Night had fallen in Rome. In their basement apartment, a little group of young women who wanted to live the gospel were wishing each other a good night. Then the doorbell rang. Who could it be at this hour? At the door, they found a panic-stricken young father. He was desperate. The following day, he and his family were going to be evicted because they had been unable to pay their rent. The women looked at one another and then, in silent agreement, went to the dresser drawer. They had kept what was left over from their salaries. In envelopes marked gas, electricity, and telephone was money they had set aside for these bills. Without a moment's worry about what would happen to them, they gave all the money to their visitor. That night, they went to bed very happy. They knew someone else would take care of them. Just before dawn, the phone rang. It was the same man. I've called a taxi, and I'm coming right over. Amazed that he should have chosen to come by taxi, they awaited his arrival. As soon as they saw his face, they knew something changed. Last night, as soon as I got home, he said, I found I had received an inheritance and never dreamed I would get it. My heart told me I should give half of it to you. The amount he gave was exactly twice what we had generously given him. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your lap. Haven't you also experienced this? If not, remember that the gift must be given with no self-interest, without hoping to get it back, and to whoever asks for it. Try it, not so that you can see if it works, but because you love God. You might be tempted to say, I have nothing to give. That's not true. If you want to, each of us can discover that we possess inexhaustible treasures. our free time, our love, our smile, our advice, our peace, our words that might persuade someone who has to give to someone who has not. You might also say, I don't know whom to give. Just look around you. Don't you remember the sick person in the hospital? The widow who often feels lonely? The boy in your class who failed and got discouraged? The young man who is sad because he can't find a job? Your sister or brother who needs a helping hand? That friend who is in prison? That new person at work who is unsure of herself? In each person, Christ is waiting for you. Put on the new style of behavior that comes from the gospel and is the garment of a Christian. It is the exact opposite of having a close friend or being concerned only about ourselves. Stop putting your trust in this world's goods and start relying on God. This will show your faith in Him, and you will see from the gifts you receive that your faith is well-founded. It becomes apparent, however, that God does not give as He does in order to make us rich. He acts in this way so that many, many others, seeing the little miracles that happen to us as a result of our giving, may decide to do the same. God also gives to us because the more we have, the more we can give. He wants us to be administrators of His goods and see to it that they are distributed throughout the community around us, so that others might be able to repeat what was said of the first Christian community. There was not a needy person among them. Don't you think that in this way you too can help give a solid spiritual foundation to social change that the world is waiting for? Give and it will be given to you. When Jesus said these words, undoubtedly He was thinking first and foremost of the reward we will receive in heaven. But the reward we receive on this earth gives us already a foretaste and a guarantee of our heavenly reward. Written by Kara Lubick.
Bishop, I wondered if in the very beginning of this gospel, the story that she talked about, if that was her and her group of women.
It was. You know,
when they started reflecting on this.
It was. I know that story well, having heard her speak of these many, many stories. And, you know, I, like she said, I could write a book on the stories. And one of these young women who's now in the next life, but she was visiting San Antonio once. Her name was Josie. And she was one of the first ones there with Kara and was part of this. In fact, she kind of was the one that probably wrote out the envelopes, because that was her task in the early community that they started, to pay all the bills.
Right.
And so she had all this money. But anyway, she was in San Antonio for a meeting and invited me over with the other some other people that were sitting around the table. We had mass and then we had lunch in their home. And it was just incredible. She just told one story after another. She couldn't stop telling these stories, which, you know, were not stories of just, as Kara writes here, that were stories of look what we got or something, but it was just God's providence, you know. She told a story which is quite well known among the group, that when they first started during the Second World War, during the bombs, they were first of all reaching out to the poor and trying to take gifts to the other side of the city of Trent and feed the hungry and take care of the clothing of those who needed clothes. And so many people were devastated. But she said that they had for dinner one night just about 3 eggs, I believe is what it was, and someone came to the door and was hungry and had no food, and so they gave the last 3 eggs to this person. And then a little later, and kind of thinking, well, we can do one night, you know, with no food, it won't kill us. So but that same night, another one of these young girls arrived home, and she had 12 eggs because she had just been to her family's home in the country and brought back 12 eggs. It was eggs for eggs. I mean, she said, but it's not just 3 that he gave back, but he gave 12. Okay. And over, she another story. That's an area of Italy where they grow apples, quite a few number of apple trees, orchards that are there. And she would say that people would bring them these because they knew they were reaching out to the poor and they were giving. And she said that they had a box of apples or whatever. And somebody came to the door hungry. They gave them the box. And then people all during the day were bringing crates of apples. And then they'd give out the crates. And then, they'd back up with a truckload of apples. She said it was just an amazing sight to see their home just filled with all of these fruits of the earth that they could give to others. And she said all these things really just verified the gospel. And that's mm-hmm. how they started, actually, mm-hmm. in those early days. And I think that's why we want to bring these words of Jesus to life in our own life. I was just thinking as I was reading it a little while ago that, last month was to stop doing something that we do, which is grumbling.
Okay. Right.
So the negatives, I've stopped doing that. On this side is probably stuff that we have a hard time doing, which is to give. But I like what she was saying here, to give a smile, to give a book, to give time, to give, yes, our resources. And God will give back, but only, and I think this is the important point before we conclude today, but only if we give it selflessly.
Right.
Not because I want to see if all this is true, because it won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see if this is really true. Several years ago, I can say in my own experience, someone came to me and they wanted to attend a retreat that I was participating in, but they didn't have the money. And so it was not something I could certainly take from the parish because it was a personal thing. So anyway, and it was in my early days, I didn't have a lot of money stored up. But anyway, I gave them the money for the retreat. And just as she said, the next day, the money came back. I think the beautiful thing here is that it surprises you.
Right.
And this is the gift that comes from God, when it surprises you mm-hmm. and you know that the gospel is true. And when you know it's true, you want more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we continue to study the scripture, live the scripture, and continue to reflect on these words month by month.
Well, Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Certainly. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, that we may celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy, which we keep in honor of the risen Lord. And what we relive in remembrance, we may always hold to in what we do. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.